This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is Letter of Intent Day. Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas decided to hug and kiss. Michael Fabiano is going to be with us. Evan Longoria was just traded to the Giants. So there's a bunch going on here, and the Cardinals have four guys going to the Pro Bowl. I watched ASU last night. It's kind of one of those shows where I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff that's just very free-flowing. We'll have Chris Cartman, though, joining us at 10:20. It is Letter of Intent Day, so I appreciate Chris taking a couple of minutes. He's the publisher, of course, of SunDevilSource.com, good friend of the show. What does he know early on today on the recruiting class? Herm Edwards is talking at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I have not seen anything from Rich Rod, and I've not seen anything from Jerome up at NAU about today. I'm getting the sense, and actually we've talked about this the last few days, this early signing day of December 20th is not going to be that as big of an event as I think some felt it to be. There's going to be players. Tyler Shuck over at Hamilton is signing at 12:30 this afternoon. Jordan's going to run out to that. A bunch of kids at Chandler are signing today, but not all of them. We have content galore coming out of our ears on the website, who these kids are, where they're from, what they're all about, what their backstories are. Eric, you're out at Horizon this morning. We've been running around, so I haven't even had a chance to talk to you. Did you go to Horizon?
Yeah, but I went to Horizon. It was quite cold this morning.
Yeah.
For Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I could see my breath walking through the halls of Horizon at 7:35 this morning.
So they had three kids?
They had three players all commit to New Mexico State.
So New Mexico State, you know, you look back on the ASU game, they were better than people thought, right?
They went to a bowl, or they're going to a bowl this year for the first time in a long time.
So three players from Horizon going to New Mexico State. Now, it's not USC. We get that. It's not Ohio State. I understand that. But it's still very cool to have players from around the valley going on to continue, and around the state. There's guys down at South Point that are going to be signing today, and other places. So yeah, it is one of those days that we really like to do. It's usually the first Wednesday of February through the years, but today's a little different. Well, Michael Fabiano at 10:35, all things around the fantasy football playoffs. I am in the semifinals. I am holding my breath about Keenan Allen, but I'm killing it with Greg Zuerlein and Jacksonville's defense. So we're going to get into all things fantasy football, not about my team, who cares, but about your team and your questions for Michael Fabiano. That comes up at 10:35. Talk to the Lopes. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics. Barry Butel, the voice of GCU, he oversees the broadcast department there as well. Barry Butel will be with us. That comes up at 11:05. The coming weeks for GCU, they have Louisville and they have Illinois the next couple of weeks, so some big games for Dan Marley's team. We'll talk to Barry. I want to get into Barry a little bit about his broadcast journey, because Barry was known as the pre- and post-hockey guest, the Todd Walsh guy position, I should say, at FSAZ when they first started, when it was just Fox Sports Net. And he's been to the NFL. He's done a lot of cool things. So I want to talk to Barry about his journey. That will come up at 11:05. Opening thoughts brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, guys, protect what matters most. Think life insurance for your family. You can go online to Sagicor Now, get a free quote, and check into it. Don't put it off. Protect what matters most. That is your family. The year is coming to an end. You start looking around at everything involving your company, your family. Think of Sagicor and Sagicor Now. Appreciate their support. Sagicor Now. Log on today. All right, so Arizona State basketball last night moves to 11-0. And I'm leading with them because they've never been in this rarefied air. They're number three ranked team in the nation. Five people voted them number one overall in the entire country. Last night they played like a team that was, I don't know, top 20 in the first half against Longwood. You figure they're going to struggle, play down to the level of their competition, all of that. Thought they settled for far too many outside shots. It's fine when you hit them, but you don't want to become a team that lives by the three and dies by the three. You just don't want to do that because, you know, inevitably you're going to have that night where they don't fall. You don't want to have that 8-for-29 night. That's just not good. The 3-for-18 from three-point country, you look at the stat sheet and you're like, wow, we were just awful tonight. So they're developing an inside game. That is my theme. My theme all about this squad is guard you is fine. Guard you is great. But to have success in a big way when it gets to March, you have to have a balanced team. You cannot just have some players on the outside. And I'm starting to see the emergence on one hand. Well, Mickey Mitchell last night did some special things on the floor. He really did. He made some acrobatic plays, and yes, I got it about the level of competition. That is why I'm going to be in Tucson on December 30th. I'm going to take some of my vacation, and we don't get much. I'm going to take some of my vacation and burn it to go to Tucson to watch Arizona and Arizona State because it's going to be that good. That is going to be must-see sports. Anything else going on over the holidays? It's fine. Giants-Cardinals this coming Sunday, not must-see sports with Drew Stanton starting and a bunch of injuries. All the bowl games, they're fine. They're part of the community, not must-see. Arizona hosting Arizona State in basketball when it could be number two or number one. I mean, imagine what happens if ASU beats Pacific, which they should, this coming Friday. It's a 1 o'clock game this Friday. It's holiday. It's Friday afternoon. Why not go see the third-ranked team in the nation play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday? If they win that game, and let's just say Villanova or Michigan State stumbles, and ASU comes in number one a week from now, Arizona State number one at U of A. No one would have scripted that. Nobody. Nobody would have scripted that. So, you know, watching last night, I continue to see the emergence of this basketball team and the growth of them against lesser competition. These are the games where you can try some things, where you can work on some things. There's plenty of tape from last night's game to show, once again, this team gets off to slow starts. It's a fact. They got off to a slow start at Kansas, got off to a slow start against Vanderbilt, got off to a slow start against Longwood. Look at the first 5 minutes of scores, first eight, first 10 minutes. It's not good in their last three games, and yet they won. So it's teaching moments. That's crucial. Very much looking forward to that. Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas last night. If you saw this trending, you're probably wondering, what is this all about? So NBA TV publicized and pumped this up, that Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas were going to sit down one-on-one. Now, the two have gone through 25 years of not speaking, being angry, taking shots, not acknowledging. Some of this goes to the fact that Isaiah Thomas talked about Magic Johnson's sexuality from the HIV diagnosis. Some of this goes to Magic keeping Isaiah off the Olympic basketball team. Whatever the reason being, this was trending last night, and even today people are buzzing about it. Here's a short clip of Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas from last night.
I would say to you, this has been a tremendous day, right? My wife, my mother, my father have been saying, y'all need to get back together.
Yeah.
So when everybody called, I said, no question, we're going to do this. And just to sit across from you and have those, relive those moments of fun, excellence, working hard, dreaming big, because we were dreaming moments before we were even, who sit up at 19, 20, 21, dreaming of stuff we wanted to do, and now here we are doing it, you know. But you are my brother. Let me apologize to you if I hurt you, that we haven't been together, and God is good to bring us back together. All right? I know, man. It hurt me, too. Come here, man.
All right. So I'm watching this. I'm trying not to be cynical. And it's a nice moment. Was it a little bit over the top to have the piano playing in the background? The answer is yes. I didn't hear Isaiah Thomas say, "I'm sorry," in this clip. Do I need to hear Isaiah Thomas say that I'm sorry? Are there other things that Isaiah Thomas has done off the floor? The answer is yes. Is it two men that are apologizing for 25 years? It's Magic did reach out. Magic did do the apology. This happens the day after that Magic introduced Kobe Bryant as the greatest Laker of all time, which created a tremendous amount of buzz. So Magic is in the news cycle in a big way. Isaiah doesn't say anything here. So I'm analyzing the apology of two grown men that are in their 50s or, yeah, coming up to 50, and they're bawling their eyes out. Eric, if you and I needed to do that at any point in time through our 20-plus years, we...
No.
I think we've shared tears maybe once that I can recall, and it was you. But we didn't have to, we weren't apologizing to each other. I know this is awkward for you, but I'm just trying to think. Is there somebody that you know that you need to go reach out to, that you played sports with, that you blew off of a team, that you need to go cry your eyes out to after 25 years?
No.
I don't have it either, and I don't know why it had to be on NBA TV.
I do.
Yeah, why?
It's late December.
Yeah.
It's the holiday season. Companies are trying to hit numbers.
I like it.
Companies are trying to get things to go viral.
What did you what'd you make out of that?
I have no idea. I don't even really know why.
This was TV?
Yeah, this sort of just came out of nowhere to me.
Yeah, it did come out of nowhere. You're right about that. Now, NBA TV is saying that they publicized this. But I don't watch NBA TV that much.
They're like TNT's little brother.
Right.
You would think if this was going to get blown out, it would be on a TNT Thursday night game or like a Christmas night game or something where you're going to have just a gigantic audience.
Coming up at halftime, here is Magic and Zeke.
Yeah, give it 4 or 5 days to ramp up the publicity on it.
Did you also hear, and then we'll take a break for Chris. Did you also hear about what TNT is doing with the Lakers-Minnesota game on Christmas night? Did you hear about this?
I did not.
So they're taking the Inside the NBA crew, and they're going to do the play-by-play of the game. And they're hoping for an absolute train. They've already said, we want a train wreck. We want to have Charles and Shaq and Kenny have as many car crashes as possible, along with Ernie Johnson. That's true. Next Christmas night, next Monday, Ernie Johnson, Charles, Shaq, Kenny doing play-by-play out of studio, courtside, Lakers, Timberwolves. It is going to be a train wreck. It will. But I think it's the trend of Dave Pasch and Bill Walton. The people aren't just tuning in to see a typical game. All right? Chris Cartman is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. There are two items that people are sending me notes about and a lot out on social media today that people want us to talk about on the show. One is the fantasy football because you're in the semifinals. Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network will join us as always. You're number 5 with Fabs right there at the NFL Network studios. The Hall of Famer, that's in about 15 minutes. The other is recruiting in this early signing period across the country and players from within the state and Arizona State and all things like that. You can check out our content at sports360az.com. You can also check out even a deeper dive over at Sun Devil Source. Chris Cartman is nice enough publisher on a very busy day to take a couple of minutes on this. We'll see Chris later today at 2 o'clock when Herm Edwards meets with the media. What strikes you most today, Chris, about this early signing period?
I would just say it's kind of what I expected from behind the scenes reporting out who would sign with ASU and where they are at with all their targets and whatnot. And it's very difficult when you have such staffing transitions to be able to close on any additional players. And there's one or two guys that we're maybe not entirely sure going into today that they'll probably end up with or already ended up with A.J. Carter, but he's a running back from Louisiana who was already connected to the running back coach, John Simon, and wide receivers coach, Rob Likens, who's now been promoted to the offensive coordinator spot. But, you know, overall, Brad, they're going to be about halfway toward their class that will be completed and announced in February on that first Wednesday. They'll probably hold a couple rides over, actually, for transfers. But I think they held together reasonably well.
Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com. Check them out. Great deep dive spot on all things around ASU. I guess if we're going through players, it's hard, Chris. This is just awkward, this December 20th deal, because I think there was a lot of buildup to how great this is going to be. And from my view, there's a lot of players, you may see it differently or the same, that are saying, I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach, not just on ASU because of all the staff in transition, but just across the country. A kid from Fresno or San Diego State may get a Pac-12 or a Power 5 offer, so he's holding off, and schools may walk away from those guys. I guess from your point of view, because you are in this day in and day out, are you seeing it the same as I am about this early period?
I was never really a fan of the early period. I don't think it's better for kids. You're going to have more schools that drop kids before the December signing period, depending upon what's going on with other details in their recruiting class. You're going to have more prominent schools. You're always going to want to try to keep kids from committing and signing that binding letter of intent in this 3-day period now, because they want to string out their secondary targets while they wait for their primary targets, who are nationally ranked players, in January. And then you have coaching changes and all kinds of other turmoil that's going to happen. It already takes place where some coaches won't move until after the signing day in February. Mm-hmm. So now you have a signing period in mid-December, toward the end of December, and you're going to have even more of that volatility. So all that, I agree with you about all those points that you're making, and definitely we're seeing a lot of angst and frustration from people out there.
Okay, early on, what do you like most about this class, early on?
For ASU, the running back position was really well recruited. They have arguably the top producing running back in Texas, Brock Sturgis. Allen High School, they're ranked number one in the state, undefeated, playing in the national championship on Saturday. He's a 2,000-yard rusher. From a smaller school in Louisiana, they have a player who's rushed for over 4,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in the last 2 years. And it's a big-bodied player who was at an earlier juncture committed to LSU and UCLA before their coaching change. A.J. Carter, he's 220 pounds. He just visited the campus. He's a good-looking kid. Then they have a guy who's a running back out of St. John Bosco, one of the top programs in California, Demetrius Flowers, who's also committed. And ASU only has two freshmen returning who are really solid prospects there. You want to have about five. So they did a good job there. And then other than that, they took a junior college defensive back commitment from Dominique Harrison, who's a top five JUCO corner, and they're waiting on another one that they'll probably get today, who will be a 3-for-3 player out of the Bay Area, Community College of San Francisco, actually waiting on his commitment right now that could come down. His name is Taron Adams. He's the son of a former 8-time Pro Bowl player, defensive lineman.
We're talking with Chris Cartman, Sun Devil Source. What concerns you most about today so far in CNASU's class?
As far as just the positions go, they need more help defensively, especially in their front seven. And I think they need depth in the defensive backfield, but they have pretty good players there now who are going to be able to play the next year or two, but they need to stockpile for the future. But more so at linebacker, where they've lost a couple guys and they don't have a lot of players there. Then you have Christian Sam, who may leave. I think they should take a JUCO player. They only have one defensive lineman committed, who's a defensive end and a little bit undersized guy, even though I like him, Michael Mattis. You can never really have too many defensive tackles. And because their defensive staff is not in place whatsoever, no coordinator, no announced position coaches, that makes it really hard on that side of the ball.
Okay, so the early view of Herm in households, I've had a couple kids on and talked to a couple, is handles himself well. One told me, yeah, he came in with a bit of a limp. He's 63 or 62 years of age, Brad, so, you know, that's to be expected. He ate a lot of cookies. He was really great in the house. This was coming from a couple of recruits. That's fine. Overall, what are you hearing about him in a house in recruitment and how he does?
So, yeah, I've talked to every ASU prospect, basically, who's hosted Herm Edwards and a number of others who have spoken with him on the phone. Consensus opinion is great enthusiasm, a guy who's going to be able to get you fired up, motivated, somebody who really believes in players, was a former NFL player, coach, mm-hmm. analyst, a player's type of a guy who has a lot of a presence. People think that he is somebody that they can look up to because of the things that he's accomplished in his career and how he's been able to achieve those things. There's, you know, probably I would say a third of the kids really don't know him yeah. at all, other than maybe what other people have told them about him. The challenges here, Brad, are this is somebody who hasn't coached at all in the college level since 1989. He doesn't know the rules, doesn't know any of the systems, the structure, the human resources that go into recruiting and player personnel at the college level, which is actually quite a bit different than the NFL level, and learning all of those things. It doesn't take days or weeks. It takes months and years mm-hmm. To be able to understand, learn, and fine-tune in all those areas. And so the detail orientation in a home when you're recruiting somebody is just not going to be there. And I'm not just talking about the personal relationship and lack of knowledge about this individual that these schools have usually been recruiting for a year to 2 years by that point. I'm talking even more about the timeline of how all these things tend to unfold and what matters from a recruiting standpoint and how all those things kind of connect, all those dots connect, and what, what buttons to push and everything else. And so you can expedite that on an individual case-by-case basis, but the totality of everything that's market-specific to ASU is going to be really hard to come by for a 63-year-old coach who hasn't coached in college football in 3 decades.
One other question I'll let you go. I'm getting overrun in my emails here from people while we're talking about quarterback. So Cameron Rising did sign with Texas today. Where are they at with quarterbacks in this class?
Well, this really speaks to the challenges that you have when you have a turnstile situation with your coaching staff, because quarterbacks are earlier than any other position on the field because the dominoes fall quickly and you have to be ahead of the curve. ASU, obviously, 3 coordinators in 3 years. Now it'll be four coordinators, in 4 years. Billy Napier came in. He's already behind the eight ball and trying to recruit people. Probably should have offered a couple kids earlier than he did. Mm-hmm. Tyler Shuck obviously makes sense as one of those. They didn't, and I don't think that was necessarily because of Napier specifically. But you also don't want to just take somebody just to take somebody, because that usually doesn't work out at the position. So they Jamari Joyner's guy that they were fiddling around with and seeing if they would bring him in and maybe try to give him a shot at quarterback and then have him move over to athlete, the Arizona commit. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, but I think they'll probably just have to hold out until 2019 and then try to find a star recruit at that position. I don't see any other reasonable thing that they could do. Maybe they could take a stopgap JUCO or just a random flyer on somebody that doesn't really have any Power 5 offers. I don't think that's necessarily a solution, even though there are guys out there who get under-recruited at the position all the time.
Sure. Brock Purdy right here in town is one of them. I'll see you this afternoon at 2. I appreciate your time on a busy day. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
It's Chris Cartman there, sundevilsource.com. You can check out his content on a busy, busy day. Michael Fabiano is next. We're behind. We'll be back with Michael. That's next. Now time to head out to the coast. Michael Fabiano coming up on Christmas time. It is fantasy football semis or finals in some leagues, or it's everybody's into it. And then you get the questions about Antonio Brown and Devontae Adams. And I can only imagine the Aaron Rodgers questions. And I don't want to get bogged down in all those with Michael, because there's got to be more to it than that. We got a lot of questions about play this guy or that guy. But you've had a busy week, my friend.
Yeah. Well, it's always a busy week in season. So, but this one here is for all the marbles.
So let's go through it. Aaron Rodgers, strategy here. If you had him, you played him last week. You're not going to go to Brett Hundley, are you? You're not, right?
No. Nick Foles is a far better option. There's going to be leagues where Tyrod Taylor is available. If you're in a league that's not as competitive, Case Keenum is a really good option. I mean, he's been very solid and very underrated for fantasy owners. So those would be the top three players that I would pick up. I would assume Blake Bortles is probably owned in most leagues, but if he's not, he's also a pretty good option, too. I mean, this guy has put up 18-plus points in four straight games.
Davante Adams' strategy.
Well, wait and see at this point, and if he's active for the Packers, he's probably active for you because he was the lone wide receiver there in Green Bay that was really putting up numbers while Hundley was the quarterback. But without Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson is a fade. Randall Cobb is a fade. Yep. Not only is the quarterback a huge downgrade, but the Vikings' defense is very good.
Antonio Brown, what do you do there?
Well, hopefully you were able to pick up someone, for example, like a Martavis Bryant. Juju Smith-Schuster would be the best alternative, I'm assuming, in most leagues that he's been taken. You can also look, if you want to go a little bit deeper, Paul Richardson's playing the Cowboys this weekend. They're not good against wide receivers. Marquise Goodwin's got to be taken in most leagues, and he's got a bad matchup this week. Dede Westbrook could see an uptick in targets with Marquise Lee injured. So there are options out there, but clearly replacing Antonio Brown, I mean, you just can't do it.
Yep.
He is one of the elite wide receivers, not only in current fantasy football, but ever. He is in a class by himself.
We are talking to the Hall of Famer. He is Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com. You can check out all of his content, senior fantasy analyst. He is the Hall of Famer as we go through the fantasy run. Keenan Allen, any update on that one? I'm going just off mailbag questions.
I think he's going to be fine for this week. Last week, I believe, was precautionary. I know you see your player go out on a cart and you get a little bit nervous, but I think the cart was available for someone other than Allen, and it wasn't used. So rather than walk back to the locker room, he just jumped on the back of the cart and went back. So at this point, on a Wednesday, it looks like he's going to be okay.
Pick two of three, Jordan Howard, Drake, Deion Lewis. That's a tough one. Lewis, mm-hmm. Drake, Howard, yep. Two.
Howard would be the player to bench there. Deion Lewis has got a great matchup, and with Rex Burkhead now injured, Lewis is going to continue to see plenty of work. And how do you bench Kenyon Drake right now? He's been on fire. Yeah.
And the Patriots' backfield with the injury to Burkhead, who picks up that slack at this point? Is it worth looking on the waiver wire, or is it all Lewis?
You would think James White is going to see a few more touches, and potentially Mike Gillisley will be active for the first time in forever. Mm-hmm. But the Patriots running back to trust is Deion Lewis.
Dak or Keenum?
That is a very close call. I would probably end up going with Dak because Zeke is back in the mix, and he averaged almost 22 fantasy points while Zeke was in the backfield. Seattle's defense is a mess right now. It's a home game for the Cowboys. So when it's close like that, I'll go with the home team quarterback. And the matchup there, you look at it and you see Seattle, not the same Seattle defense. They are a mess of injuries right now. So very close call, though.
Bortles or Foles?
Bortles. And I like Foles this week, too, but Bortles has been hot. You can't really talk too much trash about him at this point. Earlier in the year, we were doing a lot of it, but with 9 touchdowns and only 1 turnover in his last 3 or 4 games, he has been very solid, and you got to give him his due, and he's got a good matchup in San Francisco.
Cousins or Rivers?
Rivers. Don't like Cousins this week at home against the Broncos. Still a tough pass defense, and Washington's offensive line is a mess. And although Rivers killed you last week, Jets this week, I like the matchup.
Roethlisberger and Goff.
Big Ben. I like Goff as a sleeper, but I'm going to go against the conventional wisdom of benching Ben on the road because, number one, that's a dome game in Houston, and number two, the Texans' defense is bad against quarterbacks and wide receivers.
Yeah, you've been big on that don't play Ben on the road much through the years.
Yeah, and typically it works out, but a lot of it is, and if you look at it, a lot of it is, for some reason, outdoor games on the road. He's had a few good games indoors on the road. I remember Indianapolis a year ago. And I feel like because of the just how bad the Texans are, it's really hard to overlook that matchup. And again, there's not going to be any weather issues as well. So,
one other wide receiver question: Fitz, Crabtree, or Woods? Two of the three.
Boy, I like all three. I would sit Woods there, but Woods is a very good play this week too. You know, Fitz for me is hard to bench, and the Giants' defensive backfield is an absolute mess at this point, so I would definitely continue to start him.
Okay, I could go on and on a mailbag. Anything else before I let you go? we're at that point, right, where it's just mailbag crazy. Anything else this week that really catches your eye, Michael, that you think is a trend that people should be keeping an eye on, or some players to keep an eye on this week?
Well, you're going to have to be playing the matchups here. So, for example, like a Juju Smith-Schuster is a very good play this week. You know, maybe not a guy who had been starting week in and week out, but now that you have Antonio Brown banged up, I mean, I don't know if he's a must-start, you know, but he's pretty close. One thing I would tell people is don't get too cute with your lineup. So Russell Wilson had a bad game last week, and Nick Foles had a great game. That doesn't mean you're going to start Nick Foles over Russell Wilson this week. If you do, it's a mistake, because Russell's got a really good matchup against the Cowboys. Now, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be sticking with your stud players. But remember this. Don't forget the importance of kickers and defenses every week, but especially in championship week. If you've got a kicker that's been so-so and he's a name guy, I see a lot of people do this. I've seen it with kickers who are still owned heavily in a lot of leagues for some reason, and people continue to play them because of their name value. But I mean, there's Chris Boswell's been very good, you know, this season from a fantasy perspective. Every point is going to count. Jake Elliott's a very good play this week. You know, Harrison Butker has been tremendous. Kai Forbath's a good play. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that elite defense too, play the matchups. You know, I mean, the Ravens have been pretty good off and on at times. Great matchup. The Chargers have a great matchup. The Bears are playing the Browns this week. That's a good matchup. Don't overlook those two positions, because you never know when you potentially going to get 10 to 15 points from a kicker and a defense, and that could really be the difference between winning and losing a championship. And I know I'm talking about kickers and defenses here, but
right.
I mean, they're two positions on your roster that you typically have to fill in your starting lineup, and to me, they're just as important as every other one. You want to do your due diligence and study up and check out Start 'Em and Sit 'Em on NFL.com, and check out our Start 'Em and Sit 'Em segment today, later on today on NFL Fantasy Live, for all the details for the rest of your lineup. But I do tell people at this point in the season, stuck with the guys that got you there.
Yeah.
So just stick with those players.
I've had Zuerlein and the Jags defense all year.
Awesome, right?
And if I don't have Zuerlein and Jags defense, I'm done. I'm finished a long time ago.
Yep. It is amazing to think that. I mean, Greg Zuerlein is going to outscore a lot of skill position players this year. A lot. And a lot of good ones, too. It's amazing.
But Eric wanted me to ask you before you go, busts and booms from this year. Busts and booms from your point
goodness.
This year. It's Eric, so you could hammer Eric on this one, but he just asked.
The thing is, there's been so many. The injuries alone were a huge problem for fantasy owners this season, and we didn't see just average players get hurt. I mean, we superstars that got hurt. Carson Wentz just recently was another one. But if you're talking about the boons, I mean, like Russell Wilson's been great this year. Alex Smith has been great this year. Todd Gurley wasn't a first-round pick in most drafts. He's been tremendous. Cam Newton, after a slow start, he's been very good this season. You can go back and look at a guy like Alvin Kamara. Where was he drafted? He's been tremendous. And there's been others, too. Kareem Hunt. If you drafted Kareem Hunt before Spencer Ware got hurt, you probably got one of the best bargains in fantasy football.
Sure.
I mean, Alex Collins has been very good for fantasy owners this season.
Kenyon Drake.
Kenyon Drake off the waiver wire.
Right.
And in terms of the bust, I mean, we can go through a whole long line of wide receivers. You want to talk about A.J. Green and Julio Jones, Mike Evans. This is why there's going to be a lot of running backs picked in the first 10 to 20 selections in 2018. We saw a lot of those players either go down with injuries. Unfortunately, you can't do anything about that. But there's been a lot of wide receivers in the last year plus that have really not panned out for fantasy fans, and a lot of players that we projected to put up good numbers that just didn't do it. So you're going to see a change next year in the whole landscape of the first 20 to 30 picks, and I think people are going to wait on quarterbacks even longer next season, because when you're seeing Carson Wentz and Alex Smith putting up these huge numbers, when people are starting Blake Bortles in each of the three rounds of their playoffs, I mean, that goes to show you, having an elite quarterback is nice, but man, when I could pick up Josh McCown off the waiver wire and this guy's scoring 18 points every week,
right,
I'm focusing on other positions in my draft. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out next season.
Merry Christmas. Appreciate the time and the visit every week. As always, Michael, thanks.
Merry Christmas. See you, pal.
There's Michael Fabiano there from the NFL Network, NFL.com, senior fantasy analyst, the Hall of Famer. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Stay with us. Couple other things before we get out of here, and that is, first and foremost, congratulations. And I think all these are rightly so. When the Pro Bowl comes out, of all the All-Star games, exhibition games, whatever you want to call them, the Pro Bowl, in my opinion, is the worst. And it's simply because high-end athletes who throw their bodies around year-round, basically, when you get into the off-season, they say, well, there's no contact. No, they're still working out. There's not a break, really, for these guys. This is their job, and their bodies only have so many hits in them. So the idea of taking a guy like Chandler Jones and putting him out on the football field, and he can get blindsided, and his knee can get wrecked in a game that doesn't mean anything, and I don't care how many injuries haven't happened over the years. The Pro Bowl is one of the biggest wastes, but it's a moneymaker, and there's nothing else on, so people are going to watch it. And it's, you know, it's your entertainment. It's your time with your life. Me, I don't care. But I do care that a guy is acknowledged like Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones has 15 sacks. He's leading the NFL. There's no question the Chandler Jones trade, for everything that you can be critical about the Cardinals on with the current state of their roster, outside of injuries, that Chandler Jones has come in and Chandler Jones has been really, really good. He deserves to go to the Pro Bowl. He's been as good as anybody, obviously, this season. And people talk about Calais Campbell, the year he's had. Calais has had a fine year, but if you look closely, he had a lot of those sacks the first part of the season. He did. Not ripping on him, it's just Chandler Jones has been consistent the whole year. Larry Fitzgerald is going to the Pro Bowl, and this is not a surprise either. This is not a tip or a nod to Larry Fitzgerald that, yeah, he's had a fine season. No, this is Larry Fitzgerald going to his 11th Pro Bowl. Three straight seasons of 100 yards, or 100 catches, rather. He has 92 catches this season. This is all about Larry Fitzgerald making it happen. Once again, he absolutely deserves to be there, given the lack of quarterback help he's had this year with injury and just not very good play, bad offensive line. This is Larry Fitzgerald, one of his best seasons, I would say. So he deserves to go. Buda Baker is going. So Buda Baker, special teamer, second in tackles this season in the NFL. There's no question that Buda Baker has been the star of this year's Arizona Cardinals draft class. In a class that hasn't seen much out of Hassan Reddick, in spite of how people that want to spin it a certain way, you know, he just hasn't done much. So it's part of the thing. It's a learning process. And then the final player who's going in is Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson, seven straight seasons of going to the Pro Bowl, seven straight seasons of having great years out on the field. So Patrick Peterson is going in as well. This is really good stuff for the Cardinals in a season that has otherwise been lost. To see Patrick Peterson make it to the Pro Bowl, that is really cool as well. So congratulations to those guys. You know, the rest of the day today is going to be about a letter of intent. I'm very interested in what Herm Edwards has to say at 2 o'clock today. Eric and I are both going to head over to that. Jordan is out at Hamilton High School and Chandler High School for a bunch of recruiting news. Guys signing today on this LOI day. You'll see all that content up on the site. Haley was out at Saguaro this morning. You'll see that on the site. Eric was over at Horizon today. And you don't know what else is going to drop in on the LOI day. Tonight, you have the Suns playing the Clippers late. The Coyotes are not playing tonight after losing last night. And ASU and U of A are off tonight. So pretty much a Suns night and a lot of recruiting stuff that's up on the website. Edwin Rodriguez is our chairman of the board today. Appreciate Edwin stepping in and doing what he does every Wednesday. Up next, it is Talk to the Lopes with Barry Butel this week. We will talk to the longtime voice of GCU on what he has done with his career, his journey to take him back to the Lopes. And they get ready for a crucial part of their season. We'll talk with Barry about all those things. That is on the other side. GCU Talk to the Lopes is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics across the fruited plain, as I like to say, with all the sports north of 20. Great to have coaches, players, administrators on every week every Wednesday here on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. We appreciate the partnership with AZ Central. This week, it is Barry Butel. Barry Butel executes, is on the air for GCU TV, radio broadcasts, oversees all of it, and is the voice of the Lopes. He joins us as Grand Canyon will focus on basketball and other things. They get ready for a very difficult part of their schedule with games against Louisville and Illinois coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Barry, I appreciate you coming on board on Talk to the Lopes. Let's first, before we get to basketball, you look across campus. How has this worked out for you? Because people know Barry Butel as pre and post Coyotes years and years and years ago. And you come back to the market and you've really thrived at GCU. Let's just go through your personal journey.
Oh, thank you. Great to be on with you, Brad. It's you've been in this market a long time, so it's a pleasure. It has been a journey, and you did have to say many, many years ago, didn't you?
Last week. How's that?
yeah, that's a lot better. It makes me feel a lot better. I appreciate it. It started here, and then I had an opportunity to go back home to Minneapolis, where my father was a longtime broadcaster and worked in hockey when the NHL team returned to Minnesota. So that was a pleasure. Then I had an opportunity to work with the Miami Dolphins for six seasons and be around family in Florida for a while. And that was really a great experience because I did a lot with PR and negotiated the preseason TV agreements and radio agreements and worked with the digital team with the team and also through community relations. So it was a really integrated program that the team had at the time, and it was kind of an all-hands-on-deck mentality at the time. So I garnered a lot of experience that I think has helped me pave the way here to return to Phoenix, which we love, and my wife is from here. So The opportunity was presented to me about 5 years ago as far as the broadcasts were concerned, and just was amazed to come onto campus after so many years ago coming on and talking to Coach Stafford for a feature for Fox Sports Arizona and seeing a sleepy campus and then stepping back on and seeing this oasis that is here in West Phoenix and just see it blossom. It has been amazing the last 4 years to see it grow and prosper.
He is the voice of GCU. He also oversees a lot involving the broadcast side of it, both radio and television. He is Barry Butel. This week, Talk to the Lopes. When basketball was presented to you, the vision of it, just tell me about what you thought you'd see, because obviously you're here before. You probably saw Antelope Gym. You probably saw that little facility. And then this comes out of the ground and where it is now with the Colangelo Hall of Fame, the practice facility, and everything associated with it. I guess I'm curious, did you see this vision when you first came on campus, Barry?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be introduced to President Mueller and sit alongside him on a golf cart, which I'm sure you probably have also sat with President Mueller and being captivated by his passion and vision. There's a few people I've met in my life that possess that ability, and you know that they're going to execute their vision. And they articulate it, and you just know that they're going to be successful. At that point, too, I saw some of the buildings going up. I saw what had been done to a certain point. The GC Arena had already been put in place. So I knew the university was going places, and I wanted to be a part of it. There's a positive energy here, and at this stage of my life, being around young people and having the ability to mentor and be a part of perhaps some of those students and some small way help them achieve their passion and dream would be just a tremendous cherry on top.
What sport do you like doing most? Because you're doing a bunch. You're not just doing basketball, which is great. I mean, as a play-by-play guy, what sport do you like doing most? Or is there really no difference? It's just being out at a game.
Yeah, you know, it'd be interesting to hear your comment, too, because I've gotten that, you know, whether I was around hockey, they say, well, you're a hockey guy, or when I run around football, well, you're a football guy when I was in Miami, or when I went to Cleveland, I was a baseball guy because I did the pre- and post-fit game for the Cleveland Indians. So I just love being around sports. I grew up around sports. As I said, my father was a broadcaster, and he did a number of sports, hockey, football. He worked with the University of Minnesota and did all their games. And so I just love the passion and spontaneity of what the sports environment brings. You just never know on any given day, night, what might transpire, what miracle on ice we might see.
Yep.
And I think that's fantastic. And I consider myself very fortunate, as I'm sure you do, when you're in those positions, because I know that a lot of people aren't in those positions. And maybe Tuesday looks a lot like last Thursday. So to be able to do that and is a blessing, and I don't take it for granted.
How do you find Scott Williams and chemistry to be? How do you two, because you two work well together. I'm just wondering, did you sense that from the beginning, having been in a space where you work alongside an analyst, it always doesn't go well? I mean, people may think it does, but it doesn't always. But you two seem to have really hit your stride from the opening game.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad that comes across. But the moment that I met Scott, I just knew that he was a tremendous person, just point blank. He's just a phenomenal individual, a three-time NBA champion, and it just hasn't fazed him. He doesn't talk about it, you know. He doesn't hold it over anyone's head. He doesn't tout it. But he speaks with great authority. It's tremendous. I mean, it is just an amazing asset to have somebody with that depth of knowledge, his charisma, his ability to communicate. I definitely don't take that for granted, and it's tremendous to have Scott alongside me. He's a tremendous guy.
Talking with Barry Butel, Talk to the Lopes every week, every Wednesday, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, Barry Butel, the voice of GCU. All right, on the basketball court, and it's not that we can't talk other sports, but let's just focus on hoops for a bit. So you have Louisville and you have Illinois coming up, among other games, here in the next couple weeks over the holiday break. Are they about where Dan expected them to be? And as you sit there and you watch every game, what concerns you? What do you like most? Two-part question.
Well, I'll go with what I like best, and I think the team is coming together. They play tremendous defense. Coming into the last game, they were 12th in the nation in scoring defense at just over 61 points per game, and then they limit Longwood in the game to some 38 points. So they did a tremendous job, and I'm sure that number is growing. If they're 4th in the nation in three-point defense, so defensively they're playing really well. They're playing with a lot of energy on the court. I would like to see the percentage of shooting go up, their free throw percentage go up a little bit. It's been a bit frustrating, you know, listening to some of the games or watching some of the games, the talking stick against St. John's. That was difficult. Some of the shots didn't fall. They were in that game. They were certainly in the game and had an opportunity to win in regulation at Boise State. Very tough place to play at Boise State. They went to double overtime against the Broncos and lost by 5. They're close. They're very close. They've got three or four games before conference play starts at Seattle. I think they're right where they want to be. They could probably have one or two more victories, and I think Dan Marley's probably pleased with what he sees right now. There's some new, some of the bigs from Europe are really coming into their own, and Blumbergs and Labor. Mm-hmm. They're getting a feel. They're doing really well as far as the free throw percentage. They're turning the ball over a little bit, so ball control and possession would be a key too. They need to limit their turnovers, and they've done a good job since that number kind of was elevated earlier on. But the last 3, 4, 5 games, they've lowered that number considerably.
You know what I think is good about all this, Barry, is a couple of years ago when there were those big games that were starting to show up on the schedule. And even last year when Louisville came here, it's great to get it all hyped up and all that stuff. But when you're going to be in March Madness, or you aspire to be, and you want to be in the WAC championship game, Louisville and Illinois, yeah, they're big, but it's not like a couple of years ago going to Duke. It's not like, or Kentucky rather, it's not like that. And it's now becoming more normal, and a tournament tests you. It improves your RPI more than W's and L's, at least from my point of view.
Yeah, I completely agree. They're not in awe. It's not a wonderful trip that some folks want to go out and see Rupp Arena or Cameron Indoor. You know, it's great because those are just historic venues and against historically great programs. But they're not fazed. The players aren't in awe. You know, their mouths aren't wide open and their eyes aren't bugged out. And to have that experience is just a tremendous asset. And the ability to have Dan Marley and Jerry Colangelo. Is just it's a huge plus for the university to enable the kids to be in those environments.
We appreciate the time and the visit on Talk to the Lopes. Safe travels over the holidays. Thanks, Barry.
Yep. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
There's Barry Butel, the voice of GCU, and that is Talk to the Lopes. Every week we join you on Wednesdays, talk Grand Canyon University Athletics. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.